This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good morning. How the devil are you today? Are we all happy? Did we have a good Saturday night? Well, sorry, it's been a good weekend so far. Well, you know what day it is? It's Sunday. It's 10 a.m. So it's time for the famous Foxes Aftermath Show, run by the fans for the fans. And you know what? Your opinion matters. So come on, get them comments in. Come on, let's get going. Come on, you Foxes.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. Are you ready for the show? Thanks to our sponsors, ADT Taxis, Everard's, Pucka Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Leicester Riders, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Peter's Pizzeria, Hope Against Cancer, and Newbie and Co-Estate Agents. We want your views, we want your comments, so join us live. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Morning all. Like I said, are we all happy? 3 points in the bag. Tough place to go. Villa Park, when they're on a pretty decent run. We're now on 21 points from 21 games. I think we're all happy at that. On that note, we're going to bring in... I'm not sure how Reedy's going to be this morning. Reedy, how are you this morning? Are you happy? Are you sad? What's up? How are you feeling this morning, pal?
I'm happy, mate.
You're happy here? You're good?
Yeah, all good.
What was it like in the crowd yesterday, mate?
It was good. Nice atmosphere. Not many boos from what we've seen recently at home. So, it's, like I say, it's all a bit of a fresh, well, a bit of a refresh now. We've got the new players in. We've got a bit of a better feeling about the place. So, now we've got the win, it's even better. So, hopefully we can push that on from this win into the next three games.
Yeah. Aggie was there yesterday. Morning, Jamie. What a great game of football yesterday. Very impressed with the new signings. Yes, I was as well. Councillor, morning, lads. Paul, Goody. Great result. Morning, all. Yes, it was a great result, wasn't it? No tint, lads. Afternoon, morning. How are you? Craig Pearson, morning. How are you? Are you good? How are you coming from Mexico? I hope you're well. I hope you enjoyed a good time. The boss is here as well, but he must be having his toast and not done his hair yet, so he won't be on this morning. Morning, lads. Nice to be enjoying a win. Made for a good Saturday night. More, please. Yes, we do. We do need more. Chris, also, morning. Great win. So, yeah, win at last. Hope now we have turned a corner. Yes, we do. Morning, Mark. Nigel, yes. We still need to get to 40 points. There's always one doom and gloom merchant, but he's not a doom. It's true, though, isn't it? Nick is true. We do still need to get to that 40 points, Mark. Morning, Graham. Yes, Reedy's here, but Reedy's not the only one. Our very northern correspondents coming on. Morning, Jono. How are you, pal?
Not bad. Happy from yesterday.
It is, isn't it? Rydell. Morning, Rydell. Long time no see. Yes, great win, wasn't it? Yes, a really good win. There was a nice balance to the side yesterday. We can only get better now. Do you agree with that, Reedy? A nice balance to the team like Craig has said?
I'd hope so. I think the difference between the last few weeks and yesterday was I think the fight and the passion, we've not had that in a while. Obviously, the Forest game, you didn't see any of that. And then you come into this game with the new signings and you could see Christiansen's like determination to win the game, and even just his passion for the team. Every 2 seconds, you could see him coming over and just putting a fist up to us to try and boost us on. So now going forward, hopefully, it'll give us a good sign. And maybe all 3 signings start again against Spurs. You don't know. But I expect it to, I guess.
You would have thought so. Jono, Andrew Sheba said, Tete is just a different class. Not afraid to get back and help out. Very quick going forward. Happy to cut in the inside and play both sides. Yes, he can. He's got good 2 feet, hasn't he? He's got a bit of pace. He's not like blessed with pace, but I think that skill, that trickery gives him that extra yard or two for him to do. What did you think of Tete yesterday?
Who doesn't love a good old Brazilian?
You mean right down the middle, pal?
Yeah, exactly. But no, we've been calling out for a player like that for 7 years.
And man, is that Phil being positive?
Was it? Was that Phil being positive? Ooh, fancy results against them. You know what? I fancy results against Spurs.
But
I fancy results against Spurs because I'm going to be there. I want a result against Spurs. Go on then, John. I'm sorry. Carry on, mate.
It's all right, but no, he's not afraid to just run at players, which we've been calling out for ages. And look, Marco Brighton's a good player, put the crosses in, but it's either left or middle, but that's it. But now we've got attacking threat on every side now, which is brilliant.
Yeah, we have. And talking of an attacking threat, like you say, Tete was the man. You were there yesterday, mate. What did you think? Because the first few minutes, first, I think 10 minutes, he only touched the ball once and that was a little flick. Was he? And they went down the left-hand side, Barnes side, a lot of the time. What did you think then, first 10, 15 minutes? Were you crying out for him to be in the game?
I guess, but then he's just coming into the game, so you just got to give it when you can. And I think on match today, they were saying that we're using the left-hand side a lot recently. At the start of the game, and it didn't really work. So I think we switched it up and went down the right, and we completely just smashed them down because the attacking and defensive side of both Tete and Castagne worked really well. But we have been missing for a while because, like I say, Tete was coming back to defend, got a few good tackles in. So it was just about getting into the game. And like you say, the first 15 minutes wasn't great. And if we're going to talk about the goals soon, for me, you couldn't really fault the goals, I guess. Two ones that you really just can't fault.
See, there's a few complaints yesterday again about Danny Ward. But if you watch the game properly, he made 3 outstanding saves that were going into the bottom corner. He couldn't have done anything with the first goal, and he couldn't have done anything with the... Hold on, mate, Tom, just 2 seconds. He couldn't have done anything with the second goal, neither. Because it was Souter that it flicked off him, and he was wrong-footed. Own goals... You can't do an own goal when it's like that. The keeper doesn't have a Scooby-Doo.
I still think that is the weakest area in our team, though. I can't help. Yes, it was, the goals weren't his fault fully, but there were moments in the game where he also had a bit of an issue. Like, his distribution wasn't always the best. And I feel like his position, like, the goals that they didn't score, they've had 2 great chances, and he should have done better in those situations.
Can we say this, though, before anything else? I think I would admit Schmeichel wasn't great at distribution at the end of the...
No, he wasn't.
He was good. He was brilliant at some of them, but other times he was just booting it off the pitch half the time. So,
just talking about the goal, have you read this comment from Chris Tidd? Faze went over to him to console him, went over, put an arm around him and said, not as good as my 2 own goals, so don't worry, mate, which is probably true. On the own goals, we're going to bring Tom in. Tom, how are you going, pal?
Morning, lads. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good.
So we're just talking about the game in general. What did you think? We've just not got to the goals yet, apart from the own goal. But what did you think, pal?
I thought it was good. Bar the first 10 minutes, I thought we started the game very slowly once again. It was a very slow start. And obviously, Villa take the lead very early. And you're just thinking, here we go again. It's one of those days. I thought actually we battled well. I thought, you know, the confidence grew as we went into the game. In the second half, defensively, I thought we were solid. You know, I know Villa scored a goal that was offside, but apart of that, did they really create any decent chances? Not really. And when they only had four chances on
target, Tom. Two of them were goals and two of them were saves.
And the two goals are, what can you say? One, it's the crossbar and full straight to Ollie Watkins. Can't really fault anything that. Cassani can't do anything more than he's done. You know, it's fell straight to this tier striker's foot. And then the second one, what more can Danny Ward do? He's going out to correct the cross. He's moved across his goal into the position where any goalkeeper would go to. Your defender stick his foot out and it flies in the net. Both those goals are nothing anyone could have done. Mm-hmm. You could have said the first goal, we closed Brondia down a bit quicker. But again, it's just one of those. It hits the crossbar and falls to Watkins. It's one of them. But the performance all round was a lot, lot better. And the main reason that, you've got an out-and-out right winger who likes to drift inside, and it freed up Nacho to do what Nacho's good at, and that's drop deep and cause problems.
Yeah, Andy Sheba put a comment in earlier. I can't find it now. It's gone too far. That he.
I'll be back in a minute.
You what?
He's gone.
He put a comment in about Nacho seems to be a lot better player, or he looked a lot better player when he's got two wingers. Like I said to Phil yesterday, Jono, that if you've got two wingers, you've got more chances. And against when he used to play for Man City, he scored a hatful of chances because he was getting the chances in the six-yard box. And I think he proved that yesterday, didn't he, Jono? With that chance he got, he put it away and he got two assists as well. He knows what to do. And I think we've got to play him a bit more regularly, don't you, Jono?
Yeah, definitely. Like we've been saying before, like if he actually plays and needs a striker next to him or support both sides. But since he's never had that recently, that's why he's not been getting the goals, because he's not been getting that support. But now he's got support on the right and the left. He looked so much better, and it showed because he's got two assists and a goal. So he looked different, like a different player yesterday. He looked like a striker we've been looking for ages.
Yeah, he did. Tom, you were in the crowd. What did you think? Reedy's told us what he thought about the crowd. How did you think the crowd got on with Tetti, and were they enjoying his performance?
I think the crowd loved his performance yesterday. I think they really took to him, and you could see what he was going to offer the team. Like I said afterwards, he was a player that even when he had three men around him, he wanted the ball. Give me the ball. I'm not bothered. I've got three men on me. You can give me the ball, and I'll hold the ball up, and I'll knock it past one, or I'll just lay it off. Just give me the ball. Let me take some men away from the rest of the team. And you could see the fans growing into the game once that had happened, first four or five touches. And then it went a little bit quiet, because he wasn't getting the ball in much. But the second half, as soon as we gave him those two chances where you curl one past the post and one over the crossbar, the Leicester fans would be even better second half. I mean, Tyrone Mings,
he was getting slated all game.
You listen for 10 minutes, fans singing a name about how poor he was in the polite possible term. two mistakes before half-time, and he got even more pelters for it. So, no, the crowd were brilliant yesterday. I think Leicester fans, they really got behind the team. Even when the goal went in, there was still a lot of belief. And I think that's down to the three new signings playing. As for Victor Christensen, if we're going to talk about players and crowd reactions, he knows how to get the crowd going when
Gio's... Oh, doesn't he just?
Scared to chuck his hands up towards the crowd. They say, come on, we need you now. Get behind the boys. Come on, let's G them up. And then at the end, obviously, the old shh to the Villa fans. He's been with Vardy long enough now. Vardy's taught him well already what to do. But no, Tete really got the team going. I think Rodgers got spot on. He hadn't seen that many Brazil flags since he went to Brazil for the World Cup.
Reedy, now you've come back from making your bed. Love the fight and determination. When was the last time we came back from a losing position? Well, it's the first time this year, Reedy, that we've actually conceded a goal and won.
But what I was going to say, we did it last week, but not last week that we won, but didn't win.
The more thing I'm going about, James, was love the fight and determination. I've been asking this all season for fight, spirit, battling, passion and everything. And we seem to have that yesterday, didn't we, Reedy? Did that show with the crowd's reaction as well, that they could see the team fighting for it and the crowd reaction? Because I was watching it on TV and it sounded like you could only hear the away crowd, the Leicester fans yesterday, Reedy.
That was the difference. Obviously, like I say, I was talking about it before we went live, that against Forest, we just didn't have any of that. If we had any of that, we probably could have done something in the game. But Well, now we've got these new free signings, the likes of Christiansen, who just give no shits really in doing what he does. If it's a guy on the floor, he just looks at him and just doesn't even notice that he's there. Oh, so it's that just was... that's what you need in a team. You want them to fight. You want them to just have the guts and have that fight that we didn't have before. And like you say, Fox has never quit. Now it just seems like it's back to that position now.
Yeah, John, I was a bit surprised. I mean, when he brought Soyuncu on, I thought, oh, God, here we go. And then the first touch of the ball, he got a booking for knocking him into the barriers, Jono. And Tillemans got a booking about 2 minutes before as well. So we had two very quick bookings, and I thought, oh, here we go. But I'm thinking that's, I don't know, whether that's something being installed this week about a bit more fight, Jono.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see Soyuncu played, even though it was only a short time, and I think he only did touch the ball two or three times. But it was a bit of fight and spirit there, Jono, weren't there yesterday?
Do you know the Great British Bake Off? Do you know when he went started baking, had a meltdown? Bon Appetit. Someone made a comment like that saying, came on, got the yellow carded and gave a foul away in a bad position. But no, I think he was wanting to come and prove a point saying like he wants to, you know, he wants to leave something on the other players. And yes, he got a yellow card, but he just went, F it, I'm going to go in and just leave something on the players. But we mentioned before about coming back from losing the position. We came back from losing the position twice. That's even more passion because going behind once is bad enough, but going behind twice is even worse. And
normally when you've conceded two goals, we never get back into that game.
No.
Yeah.
And we just push back harder. But yeah, Soyuncu was really good.
Sorry, go on, John.
No, Soyuncu coming back in was...
No, Tom, did you do the samba party downstairs down at half-time?
Yes, I was downstairs at half-time.
And did you do a samba?
I did a little samba. It was the atmosphere was made. Just to a point that Reedy made a minute ago, people haven't seen it yet, and I don't know if they'll show it on the highlight. He's talking about when Leon Bailey tried to go past Victor Christiansen, knocked the ball past him, but Victor Christiansen wins the ball, knocks it out. Well, basically mullers him, and he runs straight into his... and falls down holding his face.
Yes.
Victor Christiansen just literally walks over the top of him, laughs at him and walks off. And then has a good moment at the ref and Victor is looking at left hand going, what's his problem? What's he doing? So that was a bit what Reedy was going about.
It just shows, you're talking about Christiansen, the difference, I don't know whether the board took difference in Denmark, but Christiansen's 20, Thomas is 21, but Thomas looks like he's about 16, 17 compared to Christiansen. He's very bulky, isn't he, Christiansen? He looks like he's been about a good few years.
Christian yesterday, like we said at our time, me and Reed were talking about, and the ball that he played out for the second goal, Thomas wouldn't have even thought of doing that kind of ball. To play that ball first time, angle your body at the right angle to put it right onto Barnes' foot when the ball's flying towards you, that's absolute like top draw for me. You know, the ball's coming towards you and you think, where am I going to play it? He knew where Barnes was, opened his foot up beautifully. The ball to Barnes and back for Nacho for the second goal. I mean, but that all comes from one person. That's Victor Christian. First crossing the box, betting, pushed back to him by Tyro Mings, the poor boy, who then got abuse of that pass. And then, obviously, the second ball from Victor out to Barnes is even better. To do that the way he did it, the ball flying towards you, what am I going to do with this ball? Thomas would have panicked there and took a touch and gone backwards. And look, I will never say Thomas because he's part of the team that won the FA Cup. He needs a loan. He needs to go out and need to build his confidence back up again. The last few weeks, he is... confidence is a bit shot in my view, and you can see it when we had to bring on Soyuncu. He brought him on to cover him in my view. He brought Thomas on within 10 minutes, about 5-6 minutes. You could see that they were going to target Thomas then for the rest of the game. Rogers there, fair play. He made the correct decision to go for, you know, go for, we'll put three at the back, big lads at the back. Soyuncu go over first thing, yet go and chuck a tackle on someone. You could see it first tackle he made, push someone into the advertising board. As soon as it happened, they stopped going down there then. The shut off the left hand side because they were like, oh, hold on a minute, we've got Soyuncu and Thomas now out there to shut us down. So Rogers got his tactics yesterday spot on. Quite quickly realised that they were going to target Thomas for the next 10 minutes, 20 minutes of the game after he took Christian off. So look, yeah. I love Thomas and there is a player in there. We've seen he can play and he can create chances and stuff. But at the moment, poor lad's confidence is a bit duffed because he's been chucked in because obviously the injury to James Justin. So next season for me, it's all about possibly getting maybe an experienced left back in, like we did better than we did with Ryan Bertram.
Yeah, you know,
quite happily to be a Fuchs and sit on the bench when you need him to come on, maybe in games, because Christian is automatically the starter for what he offers you going forward. But also, his defensive positioning is spot on every time. He knows where he needs to be in defence. And do you know what? People are going to say two goals. Let's be honest. That two of those back four won't play together in that back four. So considering that, it was not a bad performance at that back five.
We've talked a lot about Christiansen. I must get his name right. Christiansen. really, Harry Soto made his first game. Like Tom says, was thrown at the deep end a little bit. He hadn't played for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. What did you think of him?
It was a hard one because, like I say, he's only just come in and you can't really fault his own goal, can you? You feel sorry for him, really. And he did well. Obviously, every ball that came into the box, he was there to just hit it out. And again, like you say, we conceded two, but yeah, I don't think you could fault the defence because there was many times where Aston Villa had pretty much the ball near the net and like to phase and Suter just made sure it didn't go in the net. So for me, you can't really fault his performance.
Now, I don't know about you two at the game, and John, this is a question for all three of you. When I was watching it, it looked like Harry Maguire playing from a distance. From the TV, it looked very similar to Harry Maguire. Not the way he played, just his stature and build and the way he was running. It looked very much like Harry Maguire was back. Hopefully, he's not as like Harry Maguire, but I think he will grow into it once he's got fit.
Let's be honest, Jane. When Harry Maguire was at the football club, he was all right for Leicester.
He was.
I know Leicester's been poor since he left at Man U, but in the Leicester shirt, I can't fault what Harry Maguire did for us. You know,
I can't fault what he did at Leicester.
Suter yesterday, I agree with you what you mean. His stature is very similar. A bit taller than him, just a little bit. When he stood over KDH, he was quite funny at times. but, you know, the second half, there's one that stood out for me was they went into the box. He's one-on-one with his man and he doesn't dive in. He waits. And as soon as that shot's about to go, he then puts his foot out and blocks the ball. That's the one that stood out to me the whole game, that he was patient. He wasn't one of these defenders who's going to, well, a bit like Faz does sometimes, flies in off his feet and tries to get the blocking all straight away. He was calm and composed and waited for the right time to put the challenge in, and he read the situation. He read the game brilliantly. And if you're honest, yeah, defensively at corners, yes, we've still got to work on him, but we just looked so much better with him at the back because you've got that big man who was free. He didn't man mark anyone. He was left as a zonal marker, but basically told, go and attack that ball. Anything within this six-yard box, we want you on the end of it. I think he won probably six or seven of the corners on his own from heading the ball out. So,
which is what someone 6 foot six should do, Reed, isn't it? Someone that's 6 foot six should be able to win headers in the box, pal. Jono, just talking about Suter. You know, he was the eighth Australian to play for Leicester. Can you name any of the other seven, Jono?
No.
I can't. Chris Wood?
New Zealand?
No, New Zealand. Oh. James Wesolowski?
You know what, Tom? I didn't think anybody would get that one. That's the one I didn't think people would get.
No, well, I remember because I met him as a kid at 14 when we played Man United at Filbert Street. And it was the day he'd just signed for the club. So he's always one that I remember. Patrick Kisnorbo.
Yeah. Adam's got one. Paul Henderson, the keeper.
Yeah, Paul Henderson.
Casey's got him. Danny Teato.
Oh, God.
Steve Corica.
Yeah, Steve. Yeah, someone put that again. Dave Oldfield.
No, he wasn't. He was actually classed as English, he was.
Yeah,
David Oldfield. He was born in Australia, but actually classed as English.
Keller was
the
American.
Two that you're missing that I thought you might have get. They're both keepers, actually, Tom.
Oh, Mark Schwarzer.
Yeah, and Elshevsky Gray's beat you to it. Spider
Kallag.
Yeah.
I've got
the eight Australians that have played for us.
I've got James Tolkowski.
Yeah, I thought that was the one people were going to not get, actually. But anyway, lads, going back to the game, who would you have man of the match, or would it be a combined man of the match? Because me and Jono watched it on TV and you two watched it the game. So sometimes you see different things on the TV to the ground. So Jono, who are you going to go for with your man of the match? And everyone else out there, your man of the matches, please, in the comments.
Iheanacho, because we've been calling out for Iheanacho for ages. He's our like FA Cup man. And I don't feel like he was given the respect in the Premier League. So I think after the FA Cup, Ben was like, okay, you go in now, you prove your point. If you want, you go in there with a new winger and see what you can do. And he took his opportunity really well, two assists and a goal. really well taken. Definitely an actor for me.
Really? Yeah. See, we watched it on the TV. I would have gone for Nacho, but I've also gone for Chris Jansen as well because of the performance he put in. So he put a steady, good performance on his Premier League debut. So for me, it's slightly because of Nacho, but I've gone for either Nacho or Chris Jansen. So, Reedy, you were at the game. Who would you give it?
It's hard because I love that Ian actually started, but I think I'd have to give it to Tete. I think he just helped us out in areas that we just never had before. And I was quite shocked to see, I don't know who said it was, Dewsbury Hall was man of the match. I really thought he struggled yesterday.
He had one good moment where he got the ball back to score the second goal.
He put that cross over, didn't he, for Barnes, the first cross. So we actually started it. But then coming in top. So, really, who did you say? Tete, yeah?
Probably Tete. I think he was the one that helped us out the most.
And Tom?
I'm going with you, man. I'm going with Victor Christensen. Kel come in and do what he did, brilliant. But he's got to keep doing that now consistently. He's been at the football club a long time. So, you know, it's his time to shine now. But for me, a 20-year-old, to come in and on your full Premier League debut, not match fit. Let's not remember that. He wasn't match fit. And that's why he got subbed and played the way he did. And, you know, not really give anything up down that left-hand side for them or Villa's right. He was absolutely brilliant yesterday for me. And for me, he gets my man of the match.
Here's a question for you, Reedy. Jono, sorry. Let's go to Jono on this one. Morning, councillor. My worry is Castagna. He does not look like he's kicked on. Jono, would you agree with that? He's not a player. Pardon me. He's not been at his best, has he?
Except for every player. Every player's not been at their best recently. And, you know, I think everyone's overlooked Castagna because Tete, Iheanacho, Christensen all had really, really good games. And as I said, defensively, we were not too bad yesterday. So, I think once Ricardo comes back, once Justin comes back, I think all defenders will start picking up their form. But I don't agree with that comment. I think, yes, he hasn't been playing great, but I think it's been all right.
What, Tom, what about Dennis Pratt when he came on? We made three substitutions, didn't we? We bought Pratt, Vardy on, and Mendy. I was a bit surprised the Mendy one, but I could understand why he bought Pratt and Vardy on. What do you think? How do you think Dennis Pratt did? Because everyone knows I love a bit DP in the middle of the park. I think he's a quality player. And he took his goal ever so well, didn't he?
He just freshed it up for me, man. Rodgers at the time. Let's be honest about it. You really hit nail on the head. KDH didn't have a great game yesterday, in my view, either. Yes, he got involved with the two goals, but he was struggling in the middle of the park. But he wasn't struggling because of his game. He was struggling because he hadn't got a defensive midfield around. And you could tell that in the whole game, we were very soft in the underbelly, in my view. Good teams, if we play Tillemans and KDH, will tear us a new arsehole because they both like to run forward. And that's great. But the problem, the amount of time, but Tillemans was standing in line with KDH looking at each other. They're like, right here, boys. And there's a man standing behind them in the 10 position. You can't do that against good teams. And that's why I think KDH sat down. When Dennis Pratt came on, basically came on to fill that plug in the middle of the park between the two midfielders and Vardy and sit there and just give a little bit more support.
Yeah.
In fairness, found himself in a good position when he made the run forward because their defender makes mistakes, he takes his goal nicely. And you know what Dennis is going to offer. He's going to offer the energy, he's going to offer the legs, he's going to offer the passing ability, short and long. He'll make the runs, he isn't scared to do the doggy work and get stuck in. And he did what we needed him to do yesterday. As for Mendy, we brought Mendy on to fill the hole, basically what was being left exposed by having two attacking midfielders on, in my view.
Reedy, do you think this is the way to go? Lack of a central defensive midfielder, or do we still need that central defensive midfielder in there, Reedy?
I really liked when we saw the lineup. I thought, do you know what? It looks a lot better because it's more positive and a lot more attacking. But like Tom said, we did struggle being on the defensive side of it, which I guess against the likes of Aston Villas and the Everton's and the West Ham's at this point, maybe it's better to do that. But when it, like Tom said, when we come into the Arsenal's or the Liverpool's or Man U's or them, we won't be able to handle their pressure in the field, so we'd have to have more of a defensive role in there.
There was one thing I was going to ask you two that went to the game. When Nacho missed that in the first 15 seconds of the second half...
Oh, my God.
Did you think... Oh, my...
That was it. That would have killed the game. That
because if yeah, that's what I said. If Pratt, if Nacho had done what Pratt had done and taken a bit of time and composed himself, because you watch the highlights and you can see Pratt actually thinking about and really composing himself and passing it into the back of the net. That's all Nacho had to do, really. And I thought to myself, I turned around to the missus and said, that could cost us. That would have killed the game off if that had gone in the back of the net.
But when he took the shot and it didn't go in, even he was shocked because he thought it was going in. Because he looked at himself, well, like, wait, how has that not gone in?
Yeah, he was shocked as well, so, mate. Because I think he thought he was offside and he looked at the line and then I think it was the fear that, I'm not offside here. Because the lino, I remember looking straight across the line, I think he'll put his flag up here. And obviously he didn't. And the lino pointed for the goal line. And then one of the Villa players said to him, and he could see it clear as day. And he just went, pointed at him and said, no, you played him onside, mate. So even from where we were standing the other side of the ground, you could clearly see the lino point the flag, say goal kick, you played him on. And I think that was the bit where naturally you could see it sink home and it went, oh, that was the chance. Like you said, that would have killed the game off. And I generally think we probably would have gone and won that even more comfortably by that point. Because at 4-2, 15 seconds into the second half, you go 4-2 up, Villa have got to throw everything, even the kitchen sink.
The Villa's team talk got out the window, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, everything they've said at half-time would have been done and dusted. And it's, right, we're going to have to chuck all our strikes on and go gung-ho, and Leicester can then just pick us off if they wanted to.
Yeah. Jono, that goal that got disallowed to make it 3-0, well, didn't make it 3-0, but was 3-0, but then wasn't 3-0. Yeah. What were your feelings when it first went in?
We're going to lose because, like, Villa Park, you know, their fans would be going wild. But, I mean, it was obviously offside because all their players were offside. But when I saw it, I'm like, if by chance it isn't offside, I'm like, if we were going 3-3, we're in trouble. But because that goal by Nacho would have given us that cushion. But, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, when it went in and then all of a sudden it was flagged off. But then it was 15, like Tom was saying, we defended really well, didn't we, them last 15 minutes. But then, could you sense something in the crowd, Tom, that it was coming, a Villa equaliser was coming before we made it 4-2?
Oh, mate, every day, I think we agree with you. There was a lot of, like, even though Leicester fans were fully behind the team, you could just feel the pressure was mounting. It was exactly the same. It felt like Brighton at home, where they scored late on. You just feel the pressure was coming and coming and coming. And I generally think once that goal was disallowed, it flattened them. It flattened the crowd. It flattened the players. That, do you know what? We ain't going to score today again. That's it. We can't do this. You know, even with, I think it was 10 minutes left when that went in, you could just feel that they were so deflated, that goal uncounted. And let's say wrong, then Villa had 4 or 5 long-range shots and every single one of them was flying over the crossbar. And every time one of them went over the crossbar, you could just see the crowd behind that goal getting more and more angry and frustrated at Coutinho for shooting. I mean, they were lambasting him for shooting every time he had a chance.
To be honest, I think Villa must have thought they were playing at Welford Road going for 3 points every time. right, lads, before we go, it's been appreciated you joining me. I know it's still a week away. Team for next week, do you think there'll be many changes, Jono?
Yes, I think there'll be a better, more stable midfield in. Not a better one, but I feel we'll have to have maybe 2 CDMs, maybe Mendy or Ndidi, but we need a more of a solid midfield. But that, apart from that, I want to be just...
Well, if you bring one central defensive midfielder in, who are you going to drop?
Dewsbury Hall.
You think so?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, then. We're not going to have score predictions, but it's too early to tell. And Reedy, what do you think for the team? Keep it the same, or do you think you agree with Jono that we should have a central defensive midfielder in because they've got Song and Kane... or whoever else you want to name as well.
It's hard because you've got to look at it saying that now Madison's back in the central role because we've got a winger. It takes out one of the midfield spots. So if you do put more defensive midfielder in, you're either dropping Tielemans or KDH. And at the moment, I probably would be dropping KDH. But I feel like if we do drop him, you do miss the fight and the hunger we have in tomorrow at Dewsbury Hall, which is the issue.
Just quick before you say anything, Tom, we've got the third worst defence in the league. If we sort that out, the defence will rocket up the table. I think it's right. Once these three lack the defensive, because I was very surprised not to see even Marty on the bench yesterday. Was he injured yesterday?
He was ill on Thursday, mate. Yeah, that's why he's in trouble.
Once you get Suter, Faze and Castagna and Cristancian all playing regular football, I think it will improve, won't it, Tom? So do you think next week we'll see the same back four, surely, next week, if fit?
I don't see why you change that back four. You've got to look to the future now. You've got players leaving the football club, and I think you've got to pick the team around what's going to be at the end of go forward. And for me, there's only one change in that team for next week, and that's Tielemans goes to the bench. He's not interested in being here next season. No, I'm not having any of this. Oh, well, you know, he's a good player. Can be a good player he wants, but if he doesn't want to be here next season, you've got to build for the future now.
And I've been saying that. He doesn't want to be. Why? I know he took a penalty last week, but why does somebody take penalties that doesn't want to be here?
Well, exactly. And also, I have the captain's armband. You know, I don't see that as a leader. A leader doesn't want to go at the end of the season, sign a new contract. A leader wants to be here and do whatever the football club are doing. So for me, KDH keeps his place. For me, if he's fit, I'd like to see Samari back in there. I generally feel he can do that job better than Inn did at times, and he offers a better rate of passing ability to go forward. Yes, he's still naive at times, but I think we can work with him on that. But yeah, he's the only. If he isn't fit, then obviously Ndidi comes into there for me. You've got to have that defensive midfielder against teams like Tottenham, Chelsea, Man U. Otherwise, we will get cut open.
But would you put Ndidi in instead of Mendy, even though Ndidi hasn't been at his best for this season, maybe a bit longer?
The only reason I'd go with Ndidi over Mendy is his height. And, you know, as much as Ndidi's great at passing the ball, we don't need that at the back now. In that defensive role, we need someone who can literally get the ball, 5-yard pass, and I don't want to see the return of getting it on the half turn. No, you get the ball, pass it to KDH, who will then pass it through the line to Madison, who then passes it wide. You know, our game plan is very simple when we get it correct, and it means yesterday you could see it happening more. You could see the old Leicester coming back in some ways, because it was get the ball, get it to Madison into Kelechi, what would have been Vardy back in the day, who didn't make the running behind every single time. And then your two wingers were running behind, causing chaos. It's very simple the way Leicester play at the best times. But without having that number 10, who's a good number 10, and Madison being stuck out on the wing for the most of the season, we've not been a threat as much. So, look, Madison being 10 is a massive thing for this football club. But we've got the same thing to look about next summer. You know, if Madison isn't staying, then you've got to start looking who replaced Madison going forward, because he hasn't made a decision.
There's a lot of people agreeing with you. More people agreeing with you, Tom, than they're agreeing with Reedy, which I'm not surprised about, to be honest. Dean Saunders said, Tom for manager.
I do get the reasoning for Tielemans being dropped, but I just think the quality-wise, I think we have to be keeping Tielemans on the TG.
I'm sorry, but I thought we were going to carry on with something else then, really. Rightio then, lads and lasses. Thanks for watching. Jono, cheers for joining us this Sunday morning. Much appreciated.
See you later.
Cheers, pal. Thanks a lot, mate. Reedy, cheers, pal. Much appreciated. Go and get some Lemsip now for your throat and some honey and lemon or something like that.
That's a bad.
You sound a bit rough.
It has nothing to do with the amount of cider he was drinking yesterday, though, when I was with him, though, Jamie. Don't worry about that.
The side is quite smooth, so it shouldn't really happen. All right, then, Reedy, we shall speak to you later, mate. See you later. Tom, cheers for joining.
Cheers,
I take you on Daddy Daycare this morning, then, are you, pal?
Oh, they're getting older now, so one's on FIFA and one's on the iPad, so they just sit quietly chilling out. It's nice and easy now. Gets better this age.
All right, then, Tom, cheers for joining, pal. Thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers,
you're good. Thanks, see you next week. Cheers, all. There you go. 3 points in the bag at Villa Park. What more do you want? Pretty decent win. We needed that win. Not a decent win. We played well. We deserve that win, I think. But yeah, cheers for watching. So it's ciao, ciao, adios, goodbye. Top of the morning to you. Come on, you Foxes.
Thanks for watching Leicester Fan TV. Thanks to our sponsors, ADT Taxis, Everard's, Pucka Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Leicester Riders, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Peter's Pizzeria, Hope Against Cancer, and Newbie and Co-Estate Agents. Make sure to follow us on all of our social channels at Leicester Fan TV. Visit our website, leicesterfantv.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.